We are most pleased this morning to have Kathleen Baines from the Chelsea Community Hospital join us. Kathleen is the clinical coordinator of speech-language pathology. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Kathleen, how would you describe the Chelsea Community Hospital?
Chelsea Community Hospital is a 113-bed hospital located in a beautiful wooded setting. We have many specialty programs there, such as an extensive surgery center. I work in the rehabilitation program, both inpatient and outpatient. We have orthopedic specialists and a full-service emergency room that's open 24 hours a day. Chelsea has recently merged with the St. Joseph Mercy Health System. One of the things that we're most proud of at Chelsea is our customer service excellence and the compliments that we receive every day from our patients.
Kathleen, what about your specific responsibilities as the clinical coordinator of speech-language pathology?
I work in the outpatient program, and I work primarily with patients who have had strokes or traumatic brain injuries. Speech-language pathologists specialize in three major areas: swallowing, speech and language therapy, and also cognitive communicative therapy.
Kathleen, how did you end up in this role?
You won't believe it, but I've been working at Chelsea for over 30 years, and I got my master's degree at the University of Michigan. And I had several other positions, including one as a clinical supervisor at the University of Michigan Speech Clinic. Then I went to Chelsea.
So are you a nurse too?
No, I'm not. I'm a speech-language pathologist.
It is speech-language pathology. Mm-hmm. What type of education total do you have?
In order to be a speech-language pathologist, you have an undergraduate degree in speech pathology, and then you also have a master's degree in speech pathology. Then you complete a 9-month internship. And after that, you have to pass a national examination. Based on that, you are awarded the CCC, the Certificate of Clinical Competence. So it's quite a process,
I'd say.
Our guest is Kathleen Baines from the Chelsea Community Hospital, and you're listening to Everything Elderly on 1290 WLBY. Who are your patients?
We see only adults in that particular area in which I work, and they do tend to be elderly, though we see a fair number of people in their 20s as well. We see stroke patients. They tend to be older, but again, there's many people with strokes, and there's 40s and 50s, and we do see them. We see a large number of people with traumatic brain injuries as well. And these are caused most frequently by automobile accidents and motorcycle accidents, many other causes, but those are the most common ones.
Kathleen, what is swallowing therapy?
The speech-language pathologist has training and expertise in the area of anatomy and physiology of the head and neck. We evaluate and treat people with swallowing problems, particularly people who have a swallowing problem after a stroke or another type of brain injury.
What's a swallowing problem? What symptoms might you see?
It's interesting to note that if you and your listeners would put your finger on your Adam's apple and then swallow, you'll notice that your Adam's apple goes from rest to full up, back to rest in about 1 second. And when you swallow food, that's the amount of time that your airway is protected as the food passes by.
That's neat. I just was doing that, and it was 1 second. I had never, and it's that short little time that the food has to pass by.
That's right, and a lot has to happen. So you can imagine if you have a little bit of weakness in your throat because of a stroke or a head injury, that mechanism, which is very finely tuned, can become out of phase. And yes, food can pass into the airway and into the lungs.
So you notice maybe choking or coughing?
You notice coughing and choking, yes. And even sometimes little throat clearing. You have to really listen carefully. So we assess patients at the bedside. We do a full oral motor examination where we look at the strength and range of motion of the tongue and lips and soft palate. Everything that you can see when you're sitting at a table eating with someone. If we suspect that they are in trouble and that they may be aspirating, then we do a video fluoroscopic swallow study in radiology with a radiologist present. So it's a moving picture x-ray of the swallow. It's everything that you can't see when you're sitting at the table with someone. And this is breaking news. As of yesterday, we have a brand new fluoroscopy suite at Chelsea Hospital, and we will be doing digital recordings of our swallow studies.
Oh, that's really cool.
Wow.
What a great piece of technology.
Yes, it's very exciting to us.
You heard it first.
Yeah, we heard it first.
You did. You absolutely did.
Thank you for that breaking news. You know, I never knew that swallowing was so complicated. That was a very, very insightful description. Thank you. What about speech-language problems? What's the therapy involved there?
We work with people on their articulation, helping them move their lips and tongues appropriately so that their speech is more clear. I think this is what most people think of when they think of speech therapy.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think more of the language barrier, not the swallowing.
Yes, absolutely. And then in terms of language, there's basically four aspects of language that we work on, and that's auditory comprehension, or understanding what someone else is saying, verbal expression, which is thinking of the words you want to say and putting the words into sentences, reading comprehension, and written expression. So we work on all of those areas with patients.
This is Everything Elderly on 1290 WLBY. We're talking with Kathleen Baines, the clinical coordinator for speech-language pathology at the Chelsea Community Hospital. Kathleen, how about the cognitive communication problems? Can you explain a bit?
Yes, that's a characteristic primarily of people with traumatic brain injury. And they might have trouble focusing attention. And when you can't focus your attention, then that impairs your memory. It's difficult to remember if you're not fully present and focused. So we do work on activities that improve attention. And we also work with memory on what we call compensatory strategies. If the person can't remember quite as well as they could before, we might have them use a planner. We might work with them on that planner and suggest things to write down and encourage them to write in it every day and to help them get organized.
Kathleen, you're part of a larger organization. You said that you're now part of St. Joe's. I'm wondering, with it being a specialized thing, how do people come to you? I mean, how do people end up being patients? Do they see their doctor, or their families recommending that they are having a problem to the doctor? How does that work?
That's a very good question, Sheila. Almost all of our patients come to us through referral by a physician. They might get to the physician by a number of different routes. They might be hospitalized for a stroke or a head injury and then come to us either as an inpatient or an outpatient through that route, but almost always they're referred by a physician.
Our guest is Kathleen Baines from the Chelsea Community Hospital, and this is Everything Elderly on 1290 WLBY.
Kathleen, I have a question for you. I recently worked with a woman who suffered a left brain hemorrhage this year, and she was diagnosed with aphasia. And so she can speak words perfectly clearly, but she refers to things using the wrong words, and she's very frustrated by her inability to use the right vocabulary. Do you work with patients with that issue?
We do, yes. I've been working with aphasic patients for about 30 years. It's a very common kind of a problem that happens again after a hemorrhage or a stroke. And that also is a common type of aphasia. Oftentimes, patients will say the wrong word will pop out. They know what they want to say. They understand the concept, but the wrong word comes out. It's very common, and very often, gradually, they develop an awareness of the fact that they're doing it, and they're able to substitute in the word that they want.
That's really interesting, Rosemary, that you'd ask that. I like that. That's good information to know.
Kathleen, your department, the speech-language pathology, how large a group is that? Who else works with you?
I work with a team, a highly qualified team of therapists. We work with physical therapists, occupational therapists, recreational therapists, social workers, and neuropsychology, as well as the physicians. So it's a whole team effort, and we meet and talk frequently about the patients as a team.
Kathleen, do you have a story about a patient that you'd like to share?
I remember a patient that I had who had a stroke and was really unsafe to eat. She had signs and symptoms of aspiration, such as coughing and choking, when she would have either solids or liquids. And we were able to move her from inpatient therapy all the way through her program and then through outpatient therapy to the point where she could safely swallow liquids and solids that were soft. She couldn't eat hard things like lettuce and toast and crackers and peanuts, but most soft foods she could eat safely. And she was so grateful and such a good student. People have to participate and do their homework. We literally give homework. And when they do, they tend to see better results.
Kathleen, I have a question that relates back to something you said earlier about treating swallowing conditions. And that is, when is clearing your throat dangerous? So that may seem like a silly question, but if I eat a meal, I feel like I might need to clear my throat a little bit. At what point does that become a danger, though?
Well, that's actually a good question, John. We've all been at restaurants and heard about people who are socializing and having a good time, and all of a sudden they're choking and somebody has to do the Heimlich maneuver. And it is a very delicate mechanism. Despite the fact that we do it every day, it's very delicately balanced. So that's why that's a good question. You know when you're choking. Your body has safety mechanisms that protect you. When food goes slightly down into the airway, you want to cough very much. And that food is propelled out of the airway then. You can also feel when maybe a little saliva just slips down when you're not even swallowing and you want to cough a little bit. So if you just need to clear your throat, it really shouldn't be an issue. And particularly if you don't have any neurological diagnosis. So you shouldn't worry about it. If you're observing someone and you're wondering about them, you would look at how consistent it is. Is it after every swallow? Very often, surprisingly, liquids are harder to swallow than solids in the sense that they go down so fast that they tax the oral musculature more than a solid that goes down more slowly. So if you just look at someone and see how consistent their issues are, that should give you some good hints.
Thank you.
Kathleen, that was really interesting. I'm learning a lot. How can listeners get in touch with you or contact the speech-language pathology department?
Thanks for asking, Alan. The phone number is 734-475-4138. And the website is cch.org.
Kathleen, it's been great to have you with us. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.